The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
So we want to officially welcome everybody to the broadcast. This is Ricky Scapero, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines. Welcome our podcast audience. Welcome our YouTube audience. Today, I'm doing a very sobering message. It's called The Final Wake-Up Call. This message, I had a little bit of this put together yesterday. I was going to do this message yesterday, but I held off. I felt I wasn't supposed to do it yesterday, and I'm glad I didn't, because there was more information that came out that I want to share with you today. Why am I calling this the final wake-up call? I believe, and I want to slow this down today, and before we go into this, all of you guys on Facebook, YouTube, podcast, I want to let you guys know that we now have our ETH app up on Android and Apple. So you guys on the Facebook Live section, you're going to see a description there where you can click on the links there provided. Please go and download the app on Android or Apple, because there's a lot of Facebook censoring going on. They call it a quote-unquote glitch. I don't know. But I do know that they're removing pages, they're removing posts, they're censoring posts, they're shadow banning things. So I don't even know if this entire broadcast will stay up. We pray and hope that it does, but we're going to go as long as we can. So all of our messages and our articles are not going to be all on Facebook. There's going to be a lot of things that are not going to be on Facebook. They're going to be on our main website. That's why we want to encourage you to do that, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. So let me get a drink of water, and then we're going to get into this thing real quick. It's this, don't worry, it's not the coronavirus. It's called allergies. So, but we got to make sure my voice is going to hold up through this. All right, so want to get into this thing. I got a lot of scripture to go through, guys, today. I want to go to Matthew 24, and I want to slow this down to make this more of a talking point. Because if I go too fast, and trust me, I have a habit of doing that, I get ahead of myself, my mouth gets ahead of my brain, and I miss things. So I want to slow this down. Matthew 24, I want to show you where we're at right now, where and where I believe we're headed, and what's going on right now. Matthew 24, I'm going to go to this one passage, Matthew 24, verses 6 through 8. Matthew 24, 6 through 8. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And that's very important to hear that. The end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. And again, and the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verses 10 through 11, he adds another section to this, and he says, there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. So I want to break this down. I believe in that when we entered into, don't ask me why either, because I cannot answer that. I don't know why 2020 seems to be the year of unprecedented birth pangs, but it is. I don't know. I can't answer why there's a specific reason that 2020 seems to be the year that the unprecedented birth pangs happen. But I will tell you this. Anybody who has discernment, understands the times and seasons in which we're in, can see the writing on the wall. For example, when 2020 came in, we had all we had the clamor, we had the rumors of war, we had all that with Iran, we had that with Iraq, you had the Trump intervene, there was some military strikes. I mean, we thought we were going to full-blown war in 2020 when we entered into that. Okay? Then we saw these Australian fires that were unprecedented, and we're going to discuss that in more detail in a minute. Then, and which there was no rain that was coming for Australia. Then we saw earthquakes in various places. We saw, leading up to 2020, we saw the earthquakes in California. We saw different earthquakes hitting in different locations. And then we have the coronavirus. All right. Then we have these fearful and great signs from heaven. Now let's cover this. Let's go into this in more detail. For example, again, I told you how there was escalating wars with Iran and Iraq. Turkey was getting involved in this. Russia was getting involved in this. Syria was getting involved in this. So we had all this in 2019, especially in 2020. And then we get into this great and fearful sights from heaven that we're going to talk about in just a second. The Middle East, as you guys know, has been ravaged by the worst locust plague that has been seen in living memory, wiping out entire crops and livelihoods in seconds. This swept through parts of Africa, parts of the Middle East. There were states of emergencies that was issued in all these locations. Now, according to a new update, the latest is now these plagues are resurfacing. These locusts are resurfacing. There's many that are, many eggs are hatching. And what the United Nations and different agricultural organizations have warned, the worst that they have warned is now being fulfilled. Now it's happening. So we released an article yesterday, according to the Times of Israel, saying that, quote, new plague locusts are descending upon the Middle East during Passover. Are you listening? During Passover, this plague of locusts is now sweeping through these same nations again, affecting, again, Egypt and parts of Africa and Sudan and Somalia and Ethiopia and different locations. And Breaking Israel News reported that so far Israel has been left untouched. Now chew on that for a second. Listen to this quote. This is from the Times of Israel. Quote, adding to the perfect biblical storm, the current coronavirus pandemic is affecting the travel of international experts in country gatherings for training to combat the locust threat. According to a division of the United Nations Food and Agricultural Organization, there are new, extremely alarming swarms forming in the Horn of Africa. According to a Rome-based senior locust forecasting officer who has worked with the organization for over three decades, he recently told the Times of Israel on Monday that the previous time the region has been in such danger was during the time of the plagues of 1987 and through 1989. He went on to describe the locust invasion as, quote, the most destructive migratory pest in the world. According to the website, it depicted in the book of Exodus, when the highly mobile swarms of desert locusts form, they are, quote, ravenous eaters who consume their own body weight in crops and forage. He went on to warn that the swarms can grow to millions of individuals with the capacity to consume the same amount of food in one day as 35,000 people. And the current widespread breeding in Kenya, Ethiopia, and Somalia represents a, quote, unprecedented threat to food security and livelihoods at the beginning of the upcoming cropping season. Now, what am I talking about? I'm talking about, he said, there will be famines. This is causing, these locust plagues are causing famines to occur. Okay? Then, he says, there will be famines, plural tense. There will be pestilences, plural tense. Now, I've told you before, again, the word pestilence is a term in the Greek meaning a plague leading unto death. Now, I want to give you some information here on this. This coronavirus we're seeing is literally bringing the world, not just America, not just Italy, not just Israel, not just South Korea. The world is coming to its knees through panic, fear, uncertainty, economic turmoil. This is considered to be a novel virus, meaning it's a new coronavirus. It has never been previously identified. Based on the word of God, I suspect that this will not be the last pestilence, because it says plural tense pestilences. What's interesting is an individual who many deem to be a prophet, John Paul Jackson, prophesied years ago. There's a video on YouTube, you can find it, where he prophesied that there would be two major pestilences that would come to the world and would directly affect the United States. In his prophecy, he said that the first pestilence would come and it would dissipate fairly quickly and would not cause much damage. He said, but the second wave of these pestilences, he said the second wave would be a deadly pestilence that would come and would be a pandemic. Now, what's interesting about this, when I did a little bit of research on this, the 2009 swine flu pandemic that lasted from under the Obama administration from 2009 to mid-2010 was the second of two pandemics involving H1N1 influenza. The first was the 1918 to 1920 Spanish flu. And then the second one, again here in 2009, which was the swine flu, which according to estimates, it estimated to affect 11 to 21% of the global population, around 700 million to 1.4 billion people contracted the illness. And again, I find this very interesting. It said, it went on to talk about how many people were affected by this. So I cannot say whether this, the coronavirus, this COVID-19, I cannot say for certainty that this is the one that John Paul Jackson saw and is going to be, end up being the deadly one. Now, based upon the response of the nations, it looks to be that this is the one. I mean, my goodness, guys, they're shutting down entire nations. A military dispatched, National Guard being dispatched, quarantine measures being dispatched, whole cities being quarantined, whole nations being quarantined. All right, then we get up here. I want to go back to the scripture again. He says, there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. Earthquakes in various places. What's interesting about this is, this tells me there's going to be an uptick or an upright, there's going to be an increased level of seismic activity. The Gospel of Luke, and Luke 21 sheds even more detail upon this, and wherein which he says there will be great earthquakes. And the word great here, again, in Greek understanding is the word megos, where we get the word mega, or there'll be mega quakes that will strike the earth, such as what we saw on March 11, 2011, in which a massive mega quake struck, a 9.0 earthquake struck Japan, produced a killer tsunami, shifted the entire island of Japan 6 feet. It caused many deaths. Then we have the Boxing Day earthquake, the Sumatra, Sudan, what was it? Sumatra and Indonesia earthquake that killed hundreds of thousands of people. What was that? 2005, 2004? Then today, this blew me away. Let me back up and I want to say this. Last night I was listening to, I was hesitant on even saying the name because there's going to be people. Listen, if you're going to get on here and bash the man, we ask you to just be quiet so people can concentrate on the message. Whether you like him, whether you don't like him, you agree with him, you don't agree with him. But nevertheless, I was listening to a message last night from international evangelist, prophet, teacher Perry Stone. I'm just going to tell you right now, he's my personal spiritual father and has been for 20 years. I've sat under his ministry for years, and I had the privilege to do so in Cleveland, Tennessee for 3 years at OCI or Omega Center International. But anyway, nevertheless, last night he got up and he talked about, he went into the same passage and he predicted or he prophesied that based on these scriptures that there's coming a large earthquake that's going to strike and it's going to get the attention of the world or even the nation. Now, I'm not saying that this earthquake is that, but I do find it very interesting. And before I get into this, a couple days ago, he also released on his YouTube channel, on Facebook channel, Perry released a vision that he had 15 years ago in which he saw businesses in America and in these, he saw buildings in America in which he saw this was a major city. He saw people in the buildings. He saw people in their homes. But he said out in the cities, there was nobody outside. There was nobody. There was no children playing. There was nobody conducting business. The cars wasn't moving. Shipping wasn't happening. There wasn't no restaurants. There was no, it was dead. It was a ghost town in this city. And he said he saw in this vision, without going into a whole lot of detail about it, he said that something was coming that was going to affect businesses. It was going to affect the life as we know it in America. And whatever this was going to be, it was going to directly affect the church. The church would be impacted by this in some way, some form, or fashion. Well, nevertheless, he released that probably about 2 or 3 days ago. And then last night in Cleveland, Tennessee, this was streamed on his YouTube channel I believe it's on Perry Stone's YouTube channel, but it was there on OCI as well, OCI.org. He said that he believed that what we're seeing right now is the fulfillment of that dream that that vision rather that he saw 15 years ago. All right. So keep all this in mind. And in this vision that he saw 15 years ago, he pulled out a trumpet and he tried to blow this trumpet several times, but no sound would come out of the trumpet. He was trying to blow the trumpet to warn a city and nothing was coming out of the trumpet. And that was in the vision 15 years ago. Last night he got up and he warned that he said, I saw, and he said that the Lord spoke to him that a sizable earthquake was going to happen soon. Now, I find it interesting that today, somebody say today, as of Wednesday, March 18th, a very rare magnitude 5.7 earthquake struck Magna, Utah. As a result of this earthquake striking Utah, the quake reportedly shook homes from Logan all the way down to Utah County. This has now been the state of Utah. This has been their biggest earthquake recorded since 1992. There was some damage reported. There was over 21. I'm sure the number has probably risen far greater than that from the time that I reported this on our main website, endtimeheadlines.org. There's been over 21 aftershocks, one of them being a 3.9 earthquake. Here's the part that when I read this, somebody sent this to me and I fact checked this, and I'm telling you, every hair on my body stood up. And it's going to happen again when I talk about this. According to local officials in Utah, the angel Moroni, there's a statue of the angel Moroni with a trumpet in its hand, blowing a trumpet in Utah. This earthquake, this magnitude 5.7 earthquake, it didn't destroy the statue of Moroni. It didn't crack the statue of Moroni. Remember when the earthquake struck in Virginia years ago? And it affected some monuments there. And I think it cracked the what was that? The somebody help me here on Facebook Live. It there was a crack at the top of this monument in Washington. But anyway, this Angel Moroni, this statue in Utah, which, by the way, the Angel Moroni is an angel that was allegedly discovered by Joseph Smith, who was the founder of Mormon, of the Mormon religion. That's the Church of Latter-day Saints. In September 21st, in 1823, Joseph Smith alleged that this Angel Moroni visited him on numerous occasions and began to give him revelations, in which he wrote the Book of Mormon and founded the one of the largest false religions. Yes, the Washington Monument. Thank you, guys. The Washington Monument. You remember that in Virginia? When that earthquake, that rare earthquake struck in Virginia and it cracked the top of the Washington Monument, and all prophetic teachers and prophetic watchmen saw this and they knew, and they said, my goodness, this is a sign. This was a sign, a prophetic sign. Well, listen, here we have guys, this is so heavy. We have a statue of an alleged angel with a trumpet in its hand. And by the way, a trumpet in the Bible, trumpets were used to herald warnings. Blow the trumpet in Zion and call for a fast. Even the Bible says in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says that the angel will step over the banister and blow the trumpet at the catching of the catching away. John the Revelator in Revelation chapter 4, he said, I heard the voice as the voice of a trumpet, and a door was open in heaven. Trumpets were many times sounded as an alarm. It was a herald alarm, almost like the sound of a watchman. So here you have an angel with a trumpet in its hand, heralding the way, paving the way for idolatry in America. By the way, Utah is the base. It is the home of Mormonism, the Church of Latter-day Saints. All right? So this angel, this statue, this idol that's setting up, this earthquake that was an unprecedented earthquake, rare, largest since 1992, shook this Angel Moroni so strongly that the trumpet actually slipped out of the hand of the Angel Moroni. You guys can look. Go on the internet. Go. I can't show you all this, guys, because of copyrights and all that stuff. But there's Twitter. You can go to endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. We got a picture of this. Now the statue is, the angel is standing there with its hand open. There's no trumpet in its hand because the trumpet actually slipped out of its hand. Now this got my attention, and I'm going to show you why it got my attention on many levels. One, I thought of this vision from Perry, and because he had a trumpet in his hand and he was trying to blow the trumpet, but it went on deaf ears. There was no sound coming out of it. And then he prophesied there would be a large earthquake that would hit shortly. And then not even 24 hours later, we get a rare earthquake that strikes Utah. And there's a statue of an angel here that represents a major false religion and idolatry in America. And a trumpet falls out of its hand. All right. So this was extremely interesting to me. So then watch this. I'm not even into this thing yet, guys. Listen, if you got to go, come back and watch this broadcast later, because I got a lot to cover today. And this is going to be one of the most important messages that I've done in a long time. There will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. These are the beginning of sorrows. And then the Gospel of Luke says there will be great and fearful sights from heaven. Now, I personally believe this could allude to asteroids in the future that may come so terrifyingly close to striking the earth that many on the earth will look into the heavens and they'll be gripped with such fear that their hearts will fail them for fear of the expectation that'll come upon them. That's what the Gospel of Luke says. Now, what's interesting is a prophetic writer, author by the name of Tom Horn is saying that this earthquake, this asteroid that's coming through in 2029, Apophis, the destroyer, this asteroid that's coming, he is saying, he's coming out flat out saying that this asteroid is wormwood of Revelation and will strike the earth. I didn't say that. He's saying that. Now, I will say this. There was some sources saying that this asteroid is going to come so close to striking the earth that it's actually going to take out, it's going to be within satellite distance. In other words, it could take out satellites that are orbiting in space. That's how close this asteroid is going to be to striking the earth. What am I talking about? I'm talking about great and fearful signs from heaven. Listen, everybody, when the blood moons was out, the solar eclipse came through and made a slash across, straight across America, and then the second one's coming, and it's going to make an X marking all the way across America, and the center focal point of that X is going to be on New Madrid, right on the New Madrid fault. I don't believe that's a coincidence. All these things, these great and fearful sights from heaven that everybody blew them off, everybody marked all the people, everybody that was warning about these things and saying, listen, guys, these blood moons are falling on feast days in Israel's, on Israel's calendar. They were labeled as false prophets. They were labeled as heretics. They were labeled as fear mongers. They were labeled as alarmists. All that's come and gone. But now it's interesting. Here we are several years later, and it seems like to me anyway that everything is starting to come to fruition. Everything is coming to full circle, full pinnacle. Every single thing. Watch this. Let me go through this. I want to go down here. On top of all this, guys, we've got many rabbis in Israel right now that are preparing and anticipating for the arrival of what they believe as their Messiah. I did a whole segment on that, so I'm not going to go into detail on this particular segment, but you can go watch our other podcast or listen to our other podcasts, listen to our other YouTube segments. We did a whole segment on how there is, it was called Messiah Madness has hit Israel. And all these rabbis are preparing for the arrival of what they believe is their quote unquote Messiah. They're preparing the temple. They're preparing the Sanhedrin is preparing, making all these preparations, the red heifer, the ashes, the blooming of everything is being prepared for the arrival of the Messiah. And I talked about how I believe that this Messiah that they're anticipating is not going to be the Messiah that's coming on the white horse in Revelation as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. But I believe this Messiah is going to be the Antichrist of the Bible that talks about in Thessalonians that will come set up his headquarters in Jerusalem in the temple and call himself God. And he will be worshipped as God, and he will work hand in hand with the false prophet. And this is why in Jesus said in Matthew 24, 32 through 35, he said, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. All these things. Guys, listen. I'm going to prove to you right now, everything we're seeing, the famines, the pestilence, the earthquakes, the great and fearful sights from heaven, these are not just a little bit here, and then two or three years later, a little bit there, and then there's an earthquake over here. No, we're seeing since 2020, we're seeing a culmination of all these things happening, and they're accelerating at once. Now comes the time for the warning. Here's the warning. 2 Chronicles 7, 13 and 14. 2 Chronicles 7, 13 and 14. Now, I want you to bookmark that. Before you get there, I want to show you something else. In the book of Leviticus, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, it's the Torah, the first five books of the Bible. In the book of Leviticus, chapter 26, the Lord gives warnings. And all the replacement theology people always want to try to remind me that Brother Ricky, these warnings were only for the nation of Israel and they do not apply to all the other nations. Baloney. These warnings, Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28, they are for all nations. Any nation that obey, let me just read this. I got Leviticus 26, and I'm going to jump over here to Deuteronomy 28. I'm not going to read all this. I'm going to read some little bit of excerpts here. These are warnings for nations. Listen to this. This is Deuteronomy 28. Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, observe carefully to do all of his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations above the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. Now, this was directed to Israel. He's telling Israel, if you obey my commandments, obey my word, obey my statutes, then I will bless you. I will make you the head and not the tail, and above and not beneath. But then we begin to discover, I'm going to prove to you that it's not just Israel here. That it's any nation that makes the Lord God their God. Any nation that obeys and diligently obeys the voice of the Lord. Any nation that observes carefully his commandments. Any nation that turns to God, they will be blessed. All right? But in Deuteronomy 28, in the former of the chapter, he says, all these blessings shall come upon you if you'll do this. I'll make you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. I'll bless you coming in, bless you coming out. I'll bless you in the farm, in the city, and everywhere that you tread, your feet tread upon. I'll bless you. I'll bless your knitting bow, and I'll bless your storehouses. I'll give you the rain in its season. I'll give you an abundance. I'll bless the womb, the blessing of the womb. Your womb shall be blessed and this and that. I'll multiply you and increase you. All these blessings will come upon you and they'll overtake you. In Leviticus 26, he said, I'll bless you. I'll give you rain in its season. He said, I'll give you peace in the land. I will keep you healthy. I'll keep you strong and you will flourish. He says, but listen to this in Deuteronomy 28 verse 15. But if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God as a nation, all right, we're talking about the nation as a whole here. If you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God and observe to do what his statutes are here, he says, all these curses shall come upon you. And you can go and study this. Leviticus 26, Deuteronomy 28. It is the exact polar opposite of the blessings. The heavens will not give its rain in its season. You'll be the tail and not the head. You will always borrow and you will never lend. You'll never be above. You'll always be beneath. You'll be cursed. The womb of your body will be cursed. There'll be blindness. There'll be pestilence. There'll be famine. There will be war. There'll be desolation. He said, all these things will come upon your nation. Then you go over here to 2 Chronicles. Keep all that in mind because I'm going to prove to you in just a second that this was not just to the nation of Israel. This was to all nations that would make the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob their God. The blessings of the Lord would come upon them. But woe unto those nations who turn to idolatry and false gods and abominations, and they defy the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Watch this. 2 Chronicles 7, 13 through 14. This is the Lord speaking. This is a warning. Not just to America. Not just to Italy. Not just to Spain. Not just to Iran. This is not just South Korea or Israel. When I shut up heaven. This is 2 Chronicles 7, 13. The Lord speaking. When I, speaking of himself. When I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command the locust to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. Guys, we are not exempt from this. Now, I'm not saying that that we, I'm not saying, oh, you're going to die of this. That's not what Brother Ricky's saying. He says, when I send my pestilence among, go to Psalms 91. Listen to this. I got to read this because I don't want getting people missing what I'm saying here. Psalm 91. Let me read this because I got to prove my point here. Psalm 91. Watch this. This is the Lord speaking here too. Psalm 91. He says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall bow down under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him I will trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. He didn't say it wouldn't come, but he said there will be terror by night, but he just said don't be afraid. Nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor the destruction that lies waste at noonday. Listen to what he says. 1,000 may fall at your side, that's among you. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand. Listen to what he says. But it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked. So listen, let me back up. 2 Chronicles 7:13. I, the Lord, will shut up the heaven. I, the Lord, will send the locusts upon the land. I, the Lord, will send pestilence among the people. My people. I'm going to send it right in the midst of the church. Right in the midst of my people. Not just America. Not just Australia. Not just South Korea. Not just Italy. The world is going to be impacted by this. Whew. So look at this sequence of events. You had in 2020, we had unprecedented wildfires that broke out in Australia and consumed a huge swath of the entire nation of Australia. There was no rain that fell for a long time, and the fires kept burning, unprecedented, wiped out over 1 billion animals. The locust plague, not seen in living memory. And now they're saying the worst round of this is now happening and taking place right now. Happening. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the heavens being shut up. Locusts coming. And now we have a coronavirus? What is this thing? I mean, seriously. Epidemiologists are perplexed. World Health Organization's perplexed. The CDC is perplexed. Scientists are perplexed. They can't understand, why is it not affecting young people? This is uncharacteristic, for the most part, of coronaviruses. Why is some people being hospitalized with no pre-existing health conditions? And they're not old, and some of them are in critical condition, while others get away with a sniffle. The whole thing is perplexing. How in the world is the whole world on lockdown over a coronavirus that's a mystery? I'm telling you guys, this thing is unfolding like nobody in this lifetime, you and I's lifetime, has never seen anything like this. This is unprecedented. Now you say, by the way, they're calling this the worst plague in 100 years. This is the worst pestilence pandemic that has been seen since the 1918 flu. Now, Brother Ricky, I got a real problem with you saying that the Lord... Now, listen, can I make a confession to you? This is a theology that I have struggled with for years, and I've had to get into deep study on this. And I'm talking about, I had to change even some aspects of my own theology on this. The deeper I got on this thing, the more I studied line on line, precept on precept, here a little, there a little, it blew me out of the water. So what I'm going to share with you today, listen, it's not a woo, wasn't that a hallelujah, shout me down, pat you on the back, everybody feel good message. But I'm going to tell you, what I'm about to show you is Bible. And you can go and show you yourself. All right, now let me go back up here. I want to show you 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, the Lord was directly involved in this. Everybody see this? When I shut up the heaven, when I command the locusts, when I send the pestilence among my people. In the time of Noah, it says in the book of Genesis, and then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart. Guys, I'm going to have to stop right there. I'm getting a download of something that I did not, I need to make a note. Let me just turn here real quick so I don't forget this. I know this is live, and I want to turn here so I do not forget this. Okay, so I got it right here so I won't forget this. All right. The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry, or the Lord repented that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, listen to this. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I've made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In verse 13, it says, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Who brought the flood? God. Who destroyed the inhabitants of the earth through the flood? God. All right? Let's go to the time of Moses. Exodus 3, 17 through 20. The Lord speaks to Moses and said, I have said I will bring you up out of the affliction of Egypt and the land of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites to a land flowing with milk and honey. And then they will heed your voice. And you shall come, you and the elders of Israel, to the king of Egypt, that's Pharaoh, and you shall say to him, listen to this, you shall say to him, quote, the Lord God of the Hebrews has met with us, and now please let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness that we may sacrifice to the Lord our God. But this is the Lord speaking to Moses, but I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, and not even by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in its midst. And after that, he will let you go. Now, somebody talk to me. I know I can't hear you, but I can hear you. I can just hear you saying this. All right. Just crowd participation message here. Who brought the plagues of Egypt? God. Who sent them? God. All right, now let's go to the time of Lot. Genesis 18, 20-23. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I, the Lord speaking, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it, and it as it has come to me. And if not, I will know. So how did God, the Lord himself sent angels down to record and document what was going on and to give the Lord a report. And then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near to the Lord and said, quote, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now, why is Abraham asking the Lord this? Can I answer? Because Abraham knew and understood that God was getting ready to wipe out the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And then this is when they have this whole dialogue where Abraham is pleading with the Lord. God, if we can find 50 righteous, will you spare the city? If we can find 40 and 30 and 20? They're having this whole entire dialogue, and the Lord finally says, if I can find 10 righteous, I will spare the city. Genesis 19, 12 through 13. And then the men said to Lot, quote, do you have anyone else here? Son-in-law, sons, daughters, whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. These are the angels of the Lord warning Lot, get your family out. Listen to what he says in Genesis 19, 13. For we will destroy this place because the outcry against them, who, Sodom and Gomorrah, has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Who sent them to destroy it? The Lord. Genesis 19:23-25. Then the sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar, and then the Lord rained brimstone and fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah. Who brought fire and brimstone? The Lord. So he overthrew the cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. Now, why is this important? Listen, at one time, I didn't believe that God was bringing judgment upon nations of the world, because I thought, again, this was an evolving theology. I thought that those judgments were reserved for the day of judgment. Now, where do I get this? Matthew 11:20-24. Jesus began to rebuke cities, and he said, woe unto you, Chorazin, Bethsaida, and Capernaum. He said, it will be more tolerable for the cities of, let me just read this here. He said, but I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment, the day of judgment, than for you. All right. And then in Matthew 25:31-34, it says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations, not just Israel, all the nations of the world will stand before him. And it said, read it in your Bible, Matthew 25:31-34. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a sheep divides his goats. Here's the deal, guys. You ready for this? There's judgment, and then there's the wrath of God. There's a difference. When the judgment falls, the righteous are in the midst, but God can supernaturally preserve. But when the wrath comes, the righteous are nowhere to be found. Because the 7-year tribulation, that's the wrath of God being poured out upon the earth. And I'm going to tell you something. The church, now you may not agree with this theology. You may not agree with me, but I can't find anywhere where the church is in the midst of that. I can't find the church after Revelation chapter 4. All right. Now here, this is what I want to show you. I want to leave you with some good news. I believe, let me say this. I do not believe that this is the end all. People are freaking out. It's the end of the world. It's the apocalypse. It's the end of days. All right. When you go to, I want to type this up because I didn't have this in my notes. Put this out here. Because I want to show you something. I want to show you why I don't believe Luke 17. I believe it's going to get bad. I do. I do believe it's going to get bad. But I believe somehow, some way, things are going to go back to normal. And this is the scripture I got to base that assumption on. Luke 21. Let's see. Go to 26. Luke 21:26. Listen to the, or Luke, I'm sorry, Luke 17:26. Luke 17:26. And as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They ate, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and then the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise, also as it was in the days of Lot. They ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Notice here, before the wrath of God is poured out, Notice there's a there's two things here to point out. Number one is the righteous were taken out of the equation. They were spared. Noah and his family were spared. Lot and his family was spared. All right? Number two is the day that the flood came. Watch this. He says, as it were in the days of Noah, right? The day the flood came, life was normal. They were eating. They were drinking. They were marrying. Right? Y'all see that? As it were in the days of Noah. And then suddenly the flood came. Now we go to the time of Lot. Life was normal. The only people that knew that fire and brimstone was coming out of heaven was Lot and his family. Remember? I just showed you that in scripture. Who do you have in here? Sons, daughter-in-laws, whatever. Son-in-laws, go get them. Get them out of this place, for we can do nothing until you're out of the city. Remember? That's in there. But guess what? You know who did not know this was coming? The men of Sodom and Gomorrah. For them, watch this, for them, it was a normal day. They were eating. They were drinking. They were buying. They were selling. They were planting. They were building. It was life as normal. And in one day, everything changed. Bam! Fire and brimstone fell from heaven. So my point is, if Jesus said the time of the end is going to be like it was in the days of Noah and Lot. Remember, the Bible says, behold, he comes as a thief in the night. The whole world, watch this. I got to show you this. Luke 21. Let me read this to you. Luke 21. Listen what the Lord says about this day. All right, listen what he says. Luke 21. Take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of life, and that day, the day of the Lord, come upon you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare upon all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Therefore, watch and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things. So, again, I don't know. It looks bad, guys. I know. The economy looks bad. Everything looks bad. Somehow, some way, I believe that this thing is going to slow. It could be years, guys. Slowly begin to get back to normal. And he's, I don't know if I believe that, Brother Ricky. Well, listen, guys. If he's coming as a thief in the night, and he's coming in an hour and a day that you know not, then listen, if he was going to come when everybody's expecting him to come, then he wouldn't be coming as a thief in the night. He wouldn't come and catch you off guard. So listen, if everybody's expecting him to come when the economy collapses, we're all under some type of martial law or total lockdown, and the whole world's gone bananas and everything's collapsing and everything's falling, you know, apart, then everybody's expecting him to come. But he says, I'm going to come in an hour and a day that you don't expect, and you don't know I'm coming. And if you want to know how it's going to be, you got to go back to history, go back to the way it began, because everything's going to go full circle. And he says, as it was in the days of Noah and Lot, so shall it be in the return of the Son of Man. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know how we're going to get out of this. I don't know how we're going to pull out of this thing. I don't know if it's going to be like President Trump said, it's going to be 5 months. I don't know if it's going to be 5 years. I don't know if we're going to go into another recession or worse, a depression. I don't know, but all I do know is this: before the coming of the Lord, things have got to get back to a place where it's normal, or lest if it doesn't, then this word doesn't make any sense, and it's not going to come to pass just as he said. Yes, exactly. Just like I believe it was Sasha that just said, when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them. But guys, do you not see? I mean, my goodness, everything is falling into place. Let me leave you with some hope. You say, my goodness, where's the hope? Here's the hope. It's right here, Ezekiel 14. The Lord says, The word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, when a land sins against me by persistent unfaithfulness, I will stretch out my hand against it. I will cut off the supply of bread. I will send famine upon it, cut off man and beast from it. But listen to this. But if these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in the land, they would deliver only themselves by their righteousness. And then he goes on and says, verse 15, if I cause wild beasts to pass through the land and empty it, if I make it desolate, if I cause wild beasts to pass through the land and make it empty, did you know that this virus, listen to this, it's ironic that this virus is emptying the land. It's emptying cities. The whole nations are being put on lockdown. It's empty. It's desolate. And this virus allegedly came from beast. It came from animals. I thought that was very interesting. If I cause wild beasts to pass through the land and empty it and make it desolate that no man may pass through because of the beast. Even though these three men were in it. These three men were in it. In the land. As I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither sons nor daughters, only they would be delivered and the land would be desolate. Or if I bring a sword on the land, that's war, and say, sword, go through the land and cut off man and beast from it. Even though these three men were in it, as I live, says the Lord God, they would deliver neither sons nor daughters, but only themselves would be delivered. Or if I send a pestilence into the land and pour out my fury on it in blood and cut off from it man and beast. Even though Noah, Daniel and Job were in it, as I live, says the Lord, they would deliver neither son nor daughter. They would deliver the only themselves by their righteousness. What am I talking about? I'm talking about God sees his children. He sees those who are faithful. He sees those who honor him. He sees those who are in covenant with him. Listen. Are good people that are born again going to die? Yes, it happens all the time. Listen, I can go to the book of Luke and I can show you where the Lord spoke to his disciples in a parable. And he said, he told them a parable and he says that there was a tower in Shiloh that fell in that day and it killed many that were righteous. Even righteous people perished in that incident. Then he talks about how there was a slaughtering in the temple and the blood of the innocents was mingled. And he said, do you suppose that those people were any more righteous than anyone else or even more wicked? He says, lest you repent, you will likewise perish. In other words, what he was trying to tell us is, guys, listen, you can't threaten a Christian with death. I'm going to say it again. You can't threaten a Christian, a born-again believer who has a covenant with God. You can't threaten us with death. If we die, Paul said, for me to die is gain. For me to live is to die. Or for me to die is gain. For me to live is Christ. I'm sorry. For me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. That's the ultimate reward, right? To have eternal life with Christ. So I don't know how bad it's going to get. Nobody does. But I will tell you this. Based on these scriptures, based on the events that are happening, I believe that this is America's final warning. I believe that I'm going to take it a step farther. I believe this is the final warning for the nations. I really do believe, because listen, if these are the beginning of sorrows, and I just named all these events, and if these are the beginning of sorrows, my goodness, how bad is it going to get before the coming of the Lord? I mean, this thing is only going to accelerate. It's only going to accelerate. So you say, where's the hope? Listen, the hope is keep serving God. Keep pressing in. Keep in faith. Keep in covenant with the Lord. But let me go back to, I want to go back to 2 Chronicles 7, 13 and 14. Remember up here I told you, 2 Chronicles 7, 13, 14, the Lord says, I'll shut up the heavens. I'll send no rain. I'll send the locusts. I'll send the pestilence among my people. The very next verse of 2 Chronicles 7:14 tells us this is how we get out of this thing. This is how we stop the plague. We stop the famine. We stop the pestilence. We stop these things. We open the windows of heaven. If my people, he's not looking for the world. He's not looking for FEMA. He's not looking for disaster relief. He's not looking for all these things. He's not looking to the, listen, the president ain't going to save you. The White House ain't going to save you. The government's not going to save you. The World Health Organization's not going to save you. The CDC's not going to save you. Come on, none of that. Come on. If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then shall I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, notice he says, if my people who are called by my name, he never gave you specifics of where his people are. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to close with this and we're going to pray right here. His people's in Australia. He's got some people in the United States. He's got some people in China. He's got some people in Australia. He's got some people in Iran, believe it or not. He's got some people in the Middle East. He's got some people in Africa. He's got some people in Ireland. He's got some people in Italy. He's got some people in South Korea, North Korea. He's got people all over the face of the earth. He's looking for my people. He's looking for his people. He's looking for the people that are blood bought, that are born again, whose names are in the Lamb's Book of Life. Friends, it's time to stop patty caking. It's time. Listen, if there was ever a time to get on our knees, get on our face, get into some prayer, get into some fasting, begin to unite, begin to use, come together. It's right now. We got to come together, begin to cry out to heaven, begin to cry out for God's mercy, begin to cry out and ask God to forgive us as a nation. I can't stand in the gap for Australia. I can't stand in the gap for Spain. I can't stand in the gap for Ireland. I can't stand in the gap for Britain. But I'm an American. I can stand in the gap for my country. You can stand in the gap for your country. We got to stand in the gap. Moses stood in the gap and made up the hedge. He pleaded with the Lord. When the Lord was about to wipe out the people of Israel, Moses said, if you are going to blot them out, blot me out. Moses stood in the gap. He pleaded with God and said, if you're going to wipe them out, wipe me out. He said, come on, somebody. And he called God to remember his covenant. I'm going to tell you something, friends. If Abraham could have stood in the gap and Abraham pleaded with the Lord and said, Lord God, if you can find 10 righteous, will you not spare the city? Friends, if God did it for Abraham and he did it for Lot and his family, which by the way, Abraham and Lot was the same bloodline. They were included in that removal. If God was willing to spare Noah and his family, if God was willing to spare Lot and his family, come on, if he was willing to bring the children of Israel out of Egypt with silver and gold and not one feeble one among them, surely the God that we serve today under a better covenant, under better promises, not under the blood of an earthly lamb, but the blood of a heavenly lamb, surely God is able to deliver, to keep, to protect and to preserve his people in this hour. Lord Jesus, I'm asking that every individual under the sound of my voice, either by podcast, by YouTube, by Facebook, whatever countries they represent, God, we come before you right now as a collective whole, as a collective, yes, ecclesia, as a body of Christ, and we repent. We repent, Lord God, of the blood, the shedding of innocent blood. We repent, Lord God, of wickedness. We repent of idolatry. God, I see, the prophets can see, the watchmen can see that you are pulling down idols. You're pulling down those false gods across the land, across the world. For people has put their trust and they put their security in idols and gods that have no mouth to speak. They have eyes that they cannot see. They have ears that they cannot hear. They're putting their trust in mammon. They're putting their trust in governments. They're putting their trust in things that cannot save them. But God, we put our trust in the one God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The name of the Lord is a strong tower in which the righteous run into it, and they are safe. Lord, you said that men prepare horses and they prepare chariots, but Father, you said deliverance is of the Lord. Blessed is the nations of the world whose God is the Lord. Father, so we put our trust in you. We repent of our sins of our nation, God. And God, we humble ourselves today. God, if you're calling us to fast, may we be obedient and fast. May we push back a plate. God, help us if we are forced to fast because of the circumstances we're heading into, because of the disaster we're heading into right now. But God, I know based upon history that, Lord, in the darkest hour of history, the church rose up because they saw to it that it was their finest hour. This is not the darkest hour for the church. This is the finest hour for the church. You said, let the people of God arise. Lord, you said, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Lord, this pestilence, this famine, this plague has no power over the name of Jesus. It cannot triumph over you. It cannot dethrone you. You're still on the throne. You're the God who is not swayed nor moved. You said heaven and earth shall pass away, but not one jot nor tittle of this word shall pass until all things be fulfilled. God, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for a mighty move of God. I call for a mighty awakening to begin to shake the nations. You said through the prophet Haggai that once again, yet it is a little while, I will shake heaven and earth. I will shake the heaven and earth, the sea and the dry lands, and all that can be shaken shall be shaken, and the glory of the latter rain shall be greater than the former. Lord, I believe that, God. I believe right in the midst of this dark, in the midst of these dark days, right in the midst of this tragedy, Lord, we're going to see good triumph. We're going to see the glory of God triumph. Lord, I know that gross darkness is covering the earth, but Father, you said that we're the city that's set upon a hill, that we're, Lord God, to set our, we're to let our light so shine among men that they may see our works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. And I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are going to get the glory. You're going to get the honor. You're going to get all the glory, God. God, I'm asking, Lord, right now, Lord, in the name of Jesus, you said in your word that the angel of the Lord, Lord God, are ministering spirits unto the heirs of salvation. I'm asking that you would begin to dispatch mighty angels of God to begin to be released upon cities, upon regions, upon nations, and upon locations that are represented here today. God, there's people that are crying right now. There's people that are weeping right now. God, the tears are falling down their face. God, there's fear. There's pandemonium. There's hysteria. There's panic. There's anxiety. There's oppressiveness. But God, I thank you that you're well able, according to Psalms 34:7, to send an angel of the Lord to encamp around about our homes, to camp around about our neighborhood, to camp around about our communities. That, Lord God, that no weapon that would be formed or forged against us would prosper, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, that the destroyer would go, and he, as it goes through the communities, goes through the region, Lord, that it would not see the blood of an earthly lamb upon a doorpost, but it would see the blood of a heavenly lamb that's sprinkled upon the hearts of your children, God. For we are the sons and daughters of the Most High. You said, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. God, we have the authority. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us and quickens our mortal body. And if you were in a boat with a tempest and you rose up and rebuked the winds and the storms of the sea, God, and you spoke to it and you commanded to dissipate and it listened and it hearkened into your voice, you turned to your disciples and you said, oh, you of little faith, You can speak to mountains and they shall obey. God, I pray that you would stir us up in the way of remembrance and stir us up in the way in which we will know the authority that you've given us, God. Lord, protect your people. We plead the blood of Jesus over your people, over every family member that's represented here today, over every nation that's represented here today. God, we ask that, Father God, that this plague would begin to stop in its tracks in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord God, that supernatural events would begin to take place. I pray that it would confound even the most experts in the World Health Organization and CDC, that they couldn't even explain what's going on. Lord, that they'll begin to be on CNN and Fox News and MSNBC and NBC and all these mainstream media outlets, and they'll say, we can't really explain what's going on, but this thing has begun to dissipate. It may be the warm weather, but we can't prove that. We don't know what's going on, but it's beginning to die off. The cases are beginning to plummet. Deaths are beginning to dissipate. There's no more people dying. There's no more people being sick. God, I'm asking for a supernatural intervention. God, a miracle to begin to take place in the Lord and through this land. But God, I know according to your word that you are allowing this and you are permitting this to happen so that you can shake up the church. You can shake up your people. God, I know according to the book of James chapter 5, you said, Lord, in your word, that Lord, the husbandman, that's a representation of the Lord God, our groom, and we are your bride. The husbandman patiently waits for the former and the latter rain. Even so, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Father, we know it's always been about souls and it will always be about souls. So God, I'm praying in the midst of this that God, you begin to bring souls in, a mighty influx of souls from the north, the south, the east, and from the west. God, may revival begin to sweep through. Lord, I pray that every nation that this pestilence has infected and has swept through, I pray the fire of God begin to sweep through it. Revival begin to sweep through it. Salvation would begin to sweep through it. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. If you're listening to this broadcast by YouTube, by podcast, or by Facebook, and you've never got your heart right with the Lord, you've never been born again, listen, my friends, don't delay it. Make that decision right now. Repent of your sins. Just tell the Lord right before you. There's no magic formula. He wants to hear your heart. He wants to hear your heart. Draw near unto you, draw near unto him, and he will draw near unto you. Call upon me. If you'll call upon me with all of your heart, seek me with all your face, with all your heart, I shall be found by you. That's what the Lord says in Jeremiah 29:12. He's waiting upon you. Call upon the name of the Lord and you shall be saved. Repent of your sins. Ask the Lord Jesus to forgive you, wash you in his blood, come into your heart through the Holy Spirit and live through you. And get a Bible. Begin to read it. The Gospels of the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Read the book of Acts. Read the New Testament. Learn who Jesus is and develop a personal relationship with the Lord. And we pray that you do that today. Listen, if you're away from God, now's the time, friends. Stop playing games. Get back with the Lord. We are living in the last days in unprecedented times. I'll leave you with Luke 21:28. Jesus said, when you begin to see these things coming to pass, look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Guys, again, I implore you, if you've not subscribe to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. Please go do that. If you're watching by Facebook Live, there's a link right there. It's going to be our Apple app, our Android app, and our main website. If you'll click, there's all the links are there. Click on that. You guys on podcast, YouTube, all that information is there at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. We put the little graphics up. It's real easy. You'll see an iOS app, a graphic, and an Android. You just click on it. It's going to lead you right to where you need to get the app. Get the app. Why? Because a lot of stuff is shadow banned on Facebook. It's being blocked and it's being, frankly, just removed. Whole pages are being removed. I can't guarantee Facebook is going to be here forever with End Time Headlines. Also, I want to remind you again, we're also on USA.life. USA.life. That is a alternative to Facebook, and it looks just like Facebook. Really good social media site. Looks just like Facebook. End Time Headlines is on there. If you guys want to go over there, you can find End Time Headlines on USA.life as well. Also, if you'd like to support this ministry, if you've been blessed by this ministry, encouraged, equipped, edified, and you'd like to sow a one-time gift or maybe partner with us, you can do that. We want to encourage you to do it. Listen, all of our messages are free. Our app is free. Our newsletter's free. No merchandise, no CDs, t-shirts, DVDs, none of that. Everything's free. All we ask you to do is be obedient to the Holy Spirit, what He speaks to you, and you may, and we ask that you could sow into this ministry either a monthly partnership or a one-time gift, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. You could do that on the Facebook link. Click on that link. You guys on watching by podcast or by YouTube, again, you're going to see more information at the very end of this broadcast on how you can do that as well. Now, listen, real quick before you guys sign off, I don't know if I may be on here tomorrow. If not, we may not be on here till probably this time next week, because I've got family coming in out of town, and we're going to spend some time with our family. Why? Because first of all, they're family. Second of all, I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Things are getting really interesting. So we're going to spend some family time, and I know you guys understand that. So we're going to take a break, either be on here tomorrow, and we'll be off Friday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, be back on next week, or this may be our last broadcast, depending on how this works out, until next week. So if anything breaking happens, again, but our main website will be up. We'll still be sharing information and news in written form, but as far as vocal form and doing these updates, unless it's major, we're probably going to take a week off. So we love you guys. God bless you. Thank you for coming on today. Listen, stay safe and stay under the shadow of the Almighty. We'll talk to you soon.
We hope that today's word was a source of blessing and encouragement to you and your family. End Time Headlines is a ministry that provides weekly teachings to equip believers and inform the discerning of the signs and seasons in which we are in. If you would like to help support this ministry with a gift of any amount, you can do so electronically by visiting our website at endtimeheadlines.org, where you can sow a one-time gift or set up monthly partnership. If you would like to give by check or money order, you can do so by writing to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 2312, Clarksville, Indiana 47131. Thank you for your generous support and partnership to End Time Headlines.